What are you even worried about? It's Worry Week on The Wire.
Today, I spoke to Dr. Gavin Ellis, who is the former editor-in-chief of the New Zealand Herald, about ethical journalism and what that means. We discussed the coverage of the Jamie Lee Ross saga and whether it was ethical or not. I was surprised to hear what Gavin had to say about the coverage, and I will talk a little bit about my thoughts after the interview. And I began by asking, and very much in the theme of what Worry Week is, what is ethical journalism?
Ethical journalism is the adherence to guidelines that have been established basically over the last 70 or 80 years by news media organisations to ensure that the type of journalism that is practised is fair, fair, reasonable, and I think also is journalism that does no harm. Now, by that, I don't mean that some people aren't affected by journalism, but it's a form of restraint that protects the vulnerable. You know, those people who deserve to be placed under scrutiny are not included in that definition, but people who are vulnerable are, and it requires journalists to take special care. Children, for example, need special consideration in coverage and so on. And the ethics and guidelines that have been developed over that time take note of those vulnerabilities, but also practicing good, honest journalism.
So just, I know you gave an example of those vulnerable, but could you give me a short example of those that are should be scrutinised by journalism?
The people who hold power. Now, one of the principal roles of journalism is to hold power to account. And if you're in a position of power, and that's not only political power, it can be commercial power, it can be social power, those people have to be held to account, and therefore they have to accept a certain level of scrutiny. Now, in saying that, of course, one expects that journalists will still behave in an ethical manner. They won't, for example, act dishonestly. You know, one of the basic precepts of journalism is that you do not break the law. Now, there have been instances where journalists have broken laws, but they've broken laws that were ill-conceived, ill-considered, and were in fact designed to prevent scrutiny. So, you know, it's a complex, nuanced area that, you know, you got to be really careful about saying this is right, this is wrong. You need to look at individual circumstances to judge the ethics of a particular case. Now, I said that, you know, within journalism we have guidelines, ethical guidelines that that journalists are expected to follow, must follow. It's the application of those in individual circumstances where we get into some of these grey areas and debate on journalistic ethics, which is something quite common in America, but less common here, is a way of determining, in general principles, the way in which we should judge individual instances of coverage. But it gives us a sort of a broad brush approach to it. And I think that discussing and debating and the public debating journalistic ethics is a very, very healthy thing.
Just moving on to the Jamie Lee Ross saga, as it has been referred to in the media, it was covered widely by New Zealand news agencies, and ethics were brought up a lot in terms of secret recording of conversations, mental health, and personal identification. Do you think the coverage of the Jamie Lee Ross saga was ethical?
That's a
big old question.
A big old question. You can't say yes or no. Look, I think that the coverage of the Jamie Lee Ross case was handled as best it could by journalists. What we're dealing with here was a major political party facing allegations from one of its members. Now, the backdrop to that was that that particular member was said to be having mental issues. But there was a lot going on that journalists were aware of. There was a backstory, and other agents were involved in the episode as well. And I think that the way in which the media handled it was as well as they possibly could. You've got to remember that serious allegations were made against the National Party. The National Party owed it to itself and to its members to respond to those allegations, and there was a public expectation that they would respond to them. And I think that the media handled that reasonably well. I think they also handled the issue of Jamie Lee Ross's personal issues with restraint. They couldn't ignore them because those issues were raised by the National Party and by Jamie Lee Ross himself. So it was not a matter of ignoring them. It was a matter of how the story was handled. And I think that in areas that required restraint, they were restrained. Now, in terms of the use of secret recordings, I think that there was a question that editors had to ask themselves: is it legitimate for us to use that material? I think at the end of the day, because we're talking about an organisation that may or probably will govern us again, that there were issues of public interest that I think were paramount, and it was on that basis that the decision to use some of those recordings was made.
I think
that was legitimate.
Do you think that comes back to, as you said before, that they are people of power and they have the right to be sort of, what was the word, scrutinised?
Scrutinised, yes, yeah. Absolutely. You know, there were allegations made and responses given that it was in the public interest to publish and broadcast. And I don't think that that could be avoided. But as I said, I think that there was a measure of restraint exhibited by journalists in discussion of Jamie Lee Ross's personal circumstances. And that's appropriate too. The man has a right to privacy in terms of you know, of his well-being, but he made the allegations, and the allegations were responded to, and there was a public interest duty, I think, on the part of the media to cover that.
Now, Nicky Hager addressed some of the Jamie Lee Ross issues himself and argued that journalists have a habit of attacking politicians and turning to game frames to pit politicians off against one another. Do you think that when journalists do this, they draw away from true political issues at the heart, or do they focus instead on sensationalised human interest attacks such as Ross's personal issues or Simon Bridges' travel spending?
Look, I think that the media do have a tendency to frame political stories in particular, but not limited to political stories. It has the effect, I think, of, you know, they do it to try and simplify the issue, to cut it down to what they see as the principal contest, if you like, because politics is seen as a contest. And in so doing, you know, in simplifying, they actually make it simplistic and sometimes lose the nuances that inevitably are part of these sort of episodes. So, you know, there is a tendency to frame stories along some fairly hackneyed lines, you know, game framing or you know, the sports analogies, the pugilistic analogies and so on, are common ways of doing it, and I think it's done too often. But nonetheless, it's the way that the journalism often, and particularly shorter form journalism, tends to resort to those devices to try and simplify, but as I say, tends to also oversimplify issues and gives a wrong emphasis at times too.
And do you think that's unethical, or is that just a way to interpret the information so that the audience can read it and understand it in a simple way?
Well, that's the rationale applied by journalists. Now, I don't think that it's unethical, except if it casts an episode in an erroneous light, deliberately casts something in a way that is not accurate or fair. And in those circumstances, yes, there are ethical issues involved. Otherwise, it's simply a matter of the public trying to see through the framing to the issue itself.
Do you think unethical journalism is something we should be concerned about in New Zealand? Do you think journalists need to be held more accountable for reporting unethically?
We have in this country both government-appointed regulators in the Broadcasting Standards Authority and self-regulation under the New Zealand Media Council. There are ways in which journalists are held to account, and they should be held to account. Of course we should be concerned about unethical journalism, but let's keep it in proportion. The vast majority of journalism in this country does adhere to those guidelines and principles that I talked about. There are exceptions, but they're not the rule.
Irirangi Pō, Radio Bosom.
The Wire.
So we're just going to have a little bit of a talk about that, because what I found interesting is that Gavin Ellis said that journalism is unethical if it casts something in an inaccurate or unfair way, but said that the coverage of the Jamie Lee Ross case, for the most part, was ethical, because sensationalising the news or policing politicians under a game frame is a way to make the news easier to understand for readers, as well as politicians being people of power, and therefore they must be considered differently in terms of ethics, as they can be scrutinised for their actions while in power. What do you think, Damien?
I guess the word simplification, like, for me, journalism and media is more than entertainment.
Mm.
And when you go down those lines, you know.
I think it was interesting as well that he said it's a case by case basis, and I do think that's true, that it should be judged, the ethics of something should be judged on a case by case basis. But saying that sensationalising the news, it's making it easier or simple for the reader to understand. I don't know.
I think people talked about what was going on between these two members, and not really, I don't think the grand scope of it was picked out as what this actually means for the National Party and like the political
personal
outcomes of that. Yeah, exactly.
Mm.
So we're just talking about two people, not really
about the politics
behind the actual politics,
And I think it's interesting as well, because I sort of think that the average news reader or consumer doesn't study journalism or news or like, and is reading and consuming this sort of news, as he said, simplified news. But I sort of think if we dumb down the news and journalists attack politicians and pit them against one another to provide a story that is easier and more simple for the audience to understand, what does that mean for the future of journalism? Like, is that ethical? I don't know. I think it's a very interesting topic. Good worry week. So we're going to move on to Damien. Take us away.
All right. So if you already picked up, worry week is about ethical journalism. And one of those hot phrases you'd be fortunate to come across if you ever did take a paper in news media is agenda setting. If you didn't, I'll fill you in. Essentially, it's a news agency setting up a framework for what stories cover and what is outside of that scope. So at BFM, we also have an agenda setting. That's why you don't hear about the Kardashians and live up-to-date scores of the Ashes series, because that's not within our agenda setting. Agenda setting has been blamed for bias in media, with prime examples being Fox News, Fox and Friends, with agenda favouring Republicans, whilst other outlets like the Huffington Post may be seen favoured Democrats. But I wanted to have a yarn about agenda setting in our own backyard, so I did just that. I had a yarn that spiralled sometimes out of topic with AUT's senior lecturer, Greg Treadwell, firstly asking, does New Zealand have a problem with bias in media?
Bias is such an interesting point, Damien. Bias has to have a neutral point to start from. So when we talk about bias, we have to agree on the neutral point. So what isn't biased before we can identify bias? So yes, the mainstream New Zealand media is biased if you're standing outside that particular framework. If you're inside that standard mainstream middle New Zealand way of seeing the world, then the media probably represents you quite well. It's a less powerful media, if you like, than it used to be. But it's still, it talks the talk of middle New Zealand. Some of us, and I probably count myself in this group, don't think that's good enough, don't think that's enough anyway, and that the media needs to go out and beyond the standard normative frameworks in which most people see the world, because the world just isn't changing fast enough if you're talking about things like climate change. So is the media biased? Yes, it is. If you're standing in a place where you're unhappy with it.
How can the media go beyond its traditional standpoints?
That's the $64,000 question, isn't it? Because if the media goes too far outside the mainframe of seeing the world, then it loses the audience. So if the media wants the world to be a better place, and I really do believe journalists get into the job for that reason, but then I think that it has to take the audience with it. Non-mainstream media is very important and very useful, but it tends to preach to the converted. So the real issue, and this is why the issue of media bias is so interesting and so delicate and so important all at the same time, is that if you want to have an alternative view of the world, then in fact, in a way, it's you that's biased, away from that neutral point of mainstream society. Now, mainstream society can have it wrong. I think often it does.
You said media and journalism is weaker than it was.
I'm not in any doubt about that. I still don't think that the mainstream media always does a bad job. And I think that even though it's restricted in size and, if you like, power at the moment, we still have a good number of really great journalists in New Zealand who are working for various mainstream organisations, and they're the stories that stand out that really do change New Zealand society. I'm thinking of journalists like Donna Chisholm and David Fisher and Matt Nippert and Kirsty Johnston, and just these really great Kiwi journalists who actually work inside this mainframe world that we're talking about that gets accused of bias. So, you know, this is why it's partly so difficult to talk clearly about media bias, because we have such fantastic journalists working within that biased media. If you think that the media is biased, I would still urge you to go and have a look at some of the great work done by great Kiwi journalists. They're working within frames that might be biased, but it's really important that we have those good reporters doing that work inside, even inside the mainstream.
Should we be concerned about social media influencers such as YouTube bloggers?
We absolutely should be concerned. And I think what is really, really important is that the public, the audience, becomes aware of the difference between good, solid journalism, shall we say, campaigning bloggers. So, I mean, I think we need both. And we need social media, and we need that interface between the audience and journalism across social. And that's just the world we live in now, and it's useless to rail against that world. The audience is involved in the news now, and the news must be involved in the audience. And so, in a sense, if you think of it in a ideological sense, it's absolutely wonderful that the audience is now having an influence on the news much more than it used to. But at the same time, we have to be so careful that we don't lose sight of what actually is credible journalism. Journalism that, you know, we talk about media bias, and I think it's fair to say that there's no such thing as objectivity or a truly objective individual. And in journalism education, I think you'll find that very few of us talk about the idea of objectivity anymore. It's just, you know, we've just realised that while that was a great thing to aim for, it's as a human being, you're always going to carry your own baggage of one sort or another, and pure objectivity is just impossible. But we do talk about detachment, and we talk about neutrality, and we talk about impartiality, and we talk about trying to do our best within a flawed world. So we still do need that emphasis on detached journalism. And sure, some people are going to talk about it as a biased media, and if you're a young hipster who wants to change the world, then I imagine the Herald is just the most boring thing in the world. But hey, we're all Kiwis, and if you're a 55-year-old suburban office worker, maybe the Herald is describing the world as you see it. So we've just got to continue this very difficult game of juggling the mainstream and the non-mainstream. But I think it's fantastic that you guys are doing something on bias, because these are the sorts of conversations in the world of Trump and in the world of fake news. These are the very conversations we need to be having.
So as you're talking about certain audiences, they have sort of certain interests, and certain media agencies are more suited to them. Does that not create an echo chamber that we should strive to get out of?
Yep, we should. And I would not encourage anybody just to read their own favourite media, because that's where an echo chamber starts. But it's unrealistic to think that we're going to read somebody else's views on the world before our own. So we will read our own. But and yes, social media and the diversification of audiences in the digital age obviously is chopping us up into smaller units of political thought. But at the same time, in a way, that was always the case. It's just not all in the same newspaper now. We have a pretty small country, and we have fairly moderate politics, and we also have news organisations that have to do their best in this difficult time to attract advertisers. So we tend to have in New Zealand pretty middle-of-the-road mainstream kind of news.
The next question I was wanting to ask is, how heavy are the commercial pressures that affect the way a news agency might create their own agenda setting? How much of an influence does commercial pressure have on that?
News has always worked in a kind of ideal world, pretending in a way that it's in an ideal world and dealing with things like pressure from advertising and so on as best it can, while kind of pretending that it isn't influenced by those things. But I think it is, and I think we're all, you know, there's the less trusting members of the audience think that the media is strongly influenced by commercial pressures. I don't know a newsroom that pulls a story I've never known a newsroom pull a story because of pressure from advertising. In fact, when I was pressured by an advertiser once, I said, oh no, you've just made sure that I have to run this story, because I could not be seen to be not running it because of the pressure from you. And I think that is much, much more common than the other way around. I understand why the audience doesn't necessarily trust it. But I do think that 9 times out of 10, journalists do everything they can to avoid that pressure. But having said that, the whole world they work in is created in those commercial pressures. If you work for Radio New Zealand or BFM, I think you're lucky, because then perhaps you're more removed from the commercial pressures, although B has sponsorship, doesn't it? So, and the little radio station that I work at in my other life, Waiheke Radio, is like that too. You know, we're not subject to commercial pressures, but we have sponsors of our shows. and, you know, let's not pretend that we're not conscious of that. In the mainstream media, those commercial pressures are less obvious, perhaps, but I think they're still real. And it is that, it isn't that the Herald won't run a story because Mitre 10 might pull its ad or something. It's not at that level that people think it is. It's much more subtle, and it shapes the agenda of the newsroom, if you like, along the lines of that mainstream framing of society that we talked about earlier. So those organizations, those commercial organizations in Western society that hold a lot of power and sway, and if you like, shape the world we see, well, they shape the lens through which the media sees them. So in a way, there's not a lot of journalists, if you like, spending a lot of time digging into whether the world banking system is good or bad. Because, I mean, there are some journalists doing that, don't get me wrong, but they're not in the mainstream, because the mainstream media does in fact see banks as a very ordinary, normal part of the world. So rightly or wrongly. So commercial pressures are real, but they're far more subtle than I think most people who are suspicious of the mainstream media, and they have good reason to be, but people who are suspicious of the mainstream media, I think they tend to think that editors are actually in the pockets of the chief financial officers of large corporations, and they're not. They're not.
Previously, we talked about audience influence and also audience contributions. Do you think we have a heavy weighting on opinion pieces nowadays in our media?
Yeah, absolutely.
Worry Week on The Wire.